Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trash Mix Podcast. And we're here with a very musical episode this time around. I mean, we did a musical episode before, right, Joey?
Yeah.
It's like the most successful episode ever.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it a bunch of times. It's the joke that turned into our most downloaded episode with almost 1,200 unique downloads, which is fucking crazy to me. Funny enough, the majority of those come from like Latin America. You know, no surprise there. Guatemala is a big one.
Oh yeah, I was going to say. I was like, I think yeah, like Central American are really obsessed with those groups.
But that's just the power of Los Bukis, man. You know, what can you say? They're fucking, you know, one of Mexico's greatest bands, as well as Latin American bands. You know, so I mean, the people have spoken. And, you know, December, obviously, I feel like is a lighter month. So we want to keep the tradition going of kind of more lighter topics and do a little bit of music drama movies. So we brought back a guest from Los Bukis episode. We brought back none other than Jaime.
Jaime Pinedo's back. Thank you guys for having me back again.
Are you ready for this? I mean, how big of a Juanga fan are you?
Not as big as Los Bukis, of course. But, I mean, you have to respect Juanga for being one of the greatest songwriters from Mexico, dude.
Yeah, Juanga is a fucking character,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he is. His life, not only that. I mean, his songs are just amazing, too.
Yeah, I got into him pretty later on. Like, I remember him as a kid, but I didn't really grow up listening to him. It wasn't until, like, later on, I was like, oh, he's actually really catchy. Like, I could see the hype now. Before, I didn't really understand. I was just like, who is this guy? But now it's like, okay, I get it. Yeah,
it's one thing. Like, I mean, same story for me. You know, obviously Juanga's music is great. You know, we grew up listening to it, but not like a full discography listen. You know, growing up, my parents, or, you know, more specifically my mom and my tias and shit, you know, they play the hits, you know, the fucking bangers.
You're you'll remember the hits, but not like everything else.
Exactly.
Like, now it's like a lot of more than just that.
And then, you know, with the recent Netflix 4-part miniseries that came out, I'm sure Juanga is gonna have like a newfound resurgence in the streaming world. But, you know, I just want to make it clear, you know, Armando and I have been talking about this for months before I even knew that fucking special was coming out. So yes, We're definitely not just hopping on the bandwagon here.
You guys told me about it this after we recorded the Bukis one.
Exactly.
We're thinking of doing a Juan Gabriel. You want to be part of it?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, as you guys know, we're talking Juanga, el Divo de Juarez.
Can I say my most hated song from that guy?
Damn, we're gonna start off with the hater.
There's a nice little story behind this.
Yeah,
dude.
Fuck it, tell us. What's up?
Siempre en mi mente.
Wow.
And here's why. Back in Mexico, we had we still have it over there, actually, the little stereo system that you had like built up with those big speakers.
Oh yeah.
And on Saturday mornings, my mom would wake our asses up with that fucking song. And she would blast it, dude.
Okay.
I'd be like sleeping at 8 o'clock, 7, 30 o'clock, and you hear like, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, fuck, here we go again.
Ahora sí a limpiar.
That's why, dude. Yeah, pretty much, dude, you know? That was our Saturday mornings there, dude.
I mean, I guess I could see why you would hate that song growing
but
up.
But he has many other ones that are fucking amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess we can just kind of go into him, his story briefly, because I think two of the movies that we're going to cover, we're going to lightly cover 4 movies, but two of them are just in passing. You know, you
guys. Which is it? It was like the whole Bloody Affair.
Yeah. The whole
much,
Bloody Affair, right? The whole Juanga version. Yeah. we're leaving one out, but, you know, we'll cover that at a later date. So we're going to do two of them in passing, just kind of lightly discuss, because, you know, one of them, Jaime really likes it. I mean, it's a great fucking movie. I like that
before.
Movie too.
Yeah, my first time watching it.
And then one, I'll get into why I wanted to talk about it, because it reminds me of a cult classic. And then we'll just go into two movies in a little bit more detail, because those kind of tell the story of his life. You know, kind of successfully, I guess you can say. They breeze through his story. But, you know, let's get into it. Juanga. Who was Juan Gabriel? I mean, that wasn't his real name for one, so he was just kind of a character. His real name was Alberto Aguilera Valadez, born in Paracuaro, Michoacán, or Michigan, as some of the nosabos call it. Michoacán, or whatever the fuck they be saying. But yeah, born January 7th, 1950. you know, funny enough, well, not funny enough, sorry, let's put some respect on his name. You know, he died August 28th, 2016 in Santa Monica. But my little story with that, I was actually at work. I don't know if people know this, but I work at a hospital in Santa Monica, and he died relatively close to where I work. So we were kind of anticipating that he, you know, when the whole news broke out that, you know, he had a heart attack and, you know, he was in, you know, serious condition, we thought, oh, fuck, he's going to come to the hospital. He's going to, you know, he'll be a patient here. But no, he ended up going to a different hospital. But
you would ask for a picture with him while he's there.
I know, right? Hey, what's up? But yeah, I mean, you know, that's just a little side story. But I mean, basically, he grew up poor, right? I mean, his dad was like just a farm worker, basically. I don't think his mom really worked until she had to out of necessity once his dad died.
His dad got like committed, remember?
Yeah, he got sent to like a psych ward.
Yeah, he got sent to a psych ward, and then the family went to Juarez from there.
Yeah, I guess it was like, you know, when he was committed, his dad's family basically, you know, ostracized the mom, told her, we don't fucking want you around. You caused this. It was her fault. So she had to leave to Juarez to find work because she had like a friend up there, you know, did the typical, you know, house servant, you know, clean, yeah, cook type of service. And that's when he got sent to a boarding school as a little kid. And he was there for quite a while. You know, became really friendly with one of the teachers there, who actually encouraged him to make
pursue music. Yeah,
yeah. And I guess he was like a guitar teacher himself or something like that.
And what was his name?
His name was Juan something.
Yeah, that's where the name derived from. Yeah, he took the name Juan from this music guy, and then Gabriel from his dad.
From his dad, yeah. So he basically mishmashed his two, I don't know if you want to say idol or what, but two important figures in his life. He mashed those names together. But before he was Juanga, he was known as Alan Luna.
Alan Luna,
right, and yeah, that was when he was kind of, you know, starting his career in Juarez. So he had ran away from this boarding school and, you know, kind of, you know, pursued the arts and really wanted to become a singer. So he was singing at like these nightclubs and shit. And that's where he came up with the name. And he, you know, as a young teenager, like, you know, his main goal was to sing at El Noa Noa, which was like the premier nightclub in Juarez at the time. But, you know, I was thinking about it on the drive here, actually. Like, I mean, I don't know, you know, what you guys think about it, but like, I guess El Noa Noa was I mean, literally right over the border between Juarez and El Paso. So I was like trying, you know, listening to him on the way here and thinking about it. Like, I wonder why it took him to go to Mexico City to break out when El Noa Noa is like literally a stone's throw away from, you know, the Tejano scene of Texas in the 70s, where you would think that would kind of draw some influence at least, right? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's just going by what the trend was going on, you know, being like a famous singer in general.
Yeah.
And everybody over there is going to Mexico City, you know.
Yeah, everybody wanted to go to record at for CBS. Or,
yeah.
Or
yeah, he started with CBS.
Yeah, yeah, so that's why, yeah.
It's just weird that even now, like, you know, Mexico City, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, is kind of like the lifeline of entertainment in Mexico. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, other states have their, you know, artists and shit like that, but it's like, you know, all like the more popular stuff makes its way from Mexico City to everywhere else.
I guess it depends maybe from the type of music that is, because you have Nuevo León with their own style,
regional thing.
Don't remember if Discos Disa was there. Was it based off of Monterrey?
I think so.
It was definitely northern Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't like in Mexico City where all the big labels were at.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if he was in Juarez at the time, like, why did it take him to go to Mexico City? I mean, these are just inner thoughts as I'm driving here. Like, why the fuck did he have to go to Mexico City? But, you know, like, it is what it is.
Everybody back in the 70s headed to Mexico City. Everybody made it big there.
Yeah. I guess that's the only place that, where you can actually.
It's just like it's like running to Nashville, you know, when you want to, you're a country singer.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be a movie star, you're going to Hollywood.
Yeah, that's true.
That was what his option was. Like, mm-hmm. Well, I have to go to Mexico.
I mean, you know, I don't want to take too long on this topic, but I mean, I guess it was like, my thought was like, if he was so close to the border, you would have thought that the Tejano scene in El Paso or West Texas and you know, the RGV Valley, like, you would think at some point they would have adopted him into,
but his
into
style
that,
was not
yeah.
Tejano.
That's what true. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, you know, it is in his style.
Balada and all that. So yeah. Different.
So I think that's another reason too. It's different music scene. He was probably aware of it, but he probably wasn't into that.
Like, yeah, that's not my thing. So why am I gonna go to Texas if I can go to Mexico City and do the music I want?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, he, you know, before he even made it to Mexico City, he had like over, I mean, it was like 150, 200. I mean, he was known to have like an entire career's worth of catalog before he even recorded a single.
That's crazy,
dude. Which is really crazy to think. Which means he was just fucking grinding it out, writing these songs,
and great songs and all. It's not like, you know. Yeah, you have a couple of bad ones, but not all of them. I mean, you listen to his lyrics, and they're just great lyrics.
Yeah.
And then other artists would adapt them, too. You
know? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did a lot of writing for other people. I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting to think, you know, he built this whole persona of Juanga, you know, based off of the nightclub scene in Juarez.
In Juarez.
But, you know, it was like a completely different, because even now, like, I mean, I don't know, you haven't finished the series yet, not our, Armando, you haven't even, I don't think you started, right? Yeah, I mean, I finished it, but even now, like, you don't really get like a full glimpse into his life. Like, I mean, the dude was like a master of separating Alberto from Juanga.
Yeah, you really don't know who he is.
Yeah, I did.
You know Juan Gabriel maybe, but even then, it's like you don't really know him.
You only know what he let you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, for those who are in the know, you know, Juanga was kind of this androgynous character, was never confirmed whether or not he was gay. I mean, you can say he was gay, you could say he was not, and you would have a solid argument for both sides of the coin.
Like, he was like fluid, like he just went with whoever, whenever. That's what it seemed like to me, honestly.
Honestly, I feel like he was probably asexual. Like, I mean, I know he had kids and shit, but I mean, like, there was never like. Even like the, you know, the quote unquote mother of his children, he considered her his friend more than he considered her like a partner, you know.
And then before we get into the movies, did you notice how most of these movies he's rarely romantic in them?
Oh yeah.
I mean, except with Noblesa, like he is Noblesa, really like romantic, but even then he's not really close to them, if you notice that.
And even when he does like share like an on screen kiss with it's like the girls, like, it's very weird.
Yeah, but, it's like small. It's like not like intimate. It's just quick and then that's it.
And I guess that's kind of why I felt like he, I mean, who knows really, like this is all just, you know, discussion, but I feel like he may have been asexual just based off of, you know, the way his attitude towards, I mean, his entire like life, all his friends were all female, you know, I mean, people, you know, can say that that's kind of stereotypical of a gay guy. But again, you know, he was, you know, he had kids, biological kids.
Kind of like that too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point.
But the thing is, Michael Jackson was open with women too, though.
Oh, yeah.
You saw he was with, you know, Priscilla Presley or whatever, But Juanga, you never saw him with a woman, though.
You never
like that, at least, you know.
Well, he always came out alone, right? Whenever he did anything, it was just by himself. You never saw him with anybody.
Well, that's the funny part about that documentary, because we see that he actually brought everyone with him. It's they were never in the spotlight. I mean, you didn't watch it, but literally, like, it's a personal archive of videos and pictures. But anytime he was on tour, he always had friends. I mean, there was a couple guys that seemed, you know, I don't, you know, you know, that they were part of the LGBTQ community. But, you know, who's to say that they didn't ask about it? They didn't confirm or deny any of it. But everyone else, it was all women. He was like really close friends with Isela Vega. There's amazing footage in that documentary of him and Isela Vega literally just like cooking dinner at his fucking house. In the car driving to a new city, like, you know, just experiencing life together. But I don't know, man, it was just kind of amazing. If you haven't seen it yet, you know, you should finish it.
You gotta finish it. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, you should start it for sure. It's highly recommended.
Yes.
But yeah, so let's get back to the program a little bit here. So I mean, obviously, you know, we start to see him explode in the local Juarez scene as a singer. You know, he actually goes to Mexico City not once, not twice, but three times he makes it to Mexico City, and each time, except for the last, obviously, he just basically struck out. He never really made it big, didn't really have his own chance. He was like a backup singer, making no money whatsoever. So whenever he would fail, he would come right back to Juarez, go right back to the nightclubs there, singing, you know, trying to build a name for himself, and then, you know, would go back. And
when he would go, he wouldn't even like stay anywhere. He would just sleep wherever.
Yeah, he was. He was effectively homeless.
Yeah, like, he was homeless. Yeah, he would live like at bus stops,
train stations
like, yeah. Park benches. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So he was really struggling out there when he would go.
And that's what led to his arrest in Mexico City. I met somebody. They told him, hey, you know, come sleep at my house, whatever. And then
he got framed.
He got framed for robbery. Yeah, I mean, who knows whether he did it or not, mm-hmm. you know, but he always denied that that he did it. And was locked up for almost 2 years, which is kind of crazy. And then was discovered while he was in prison by La Prieta Linda, mm-hmm. Who basically heard him singing. I guess he was performing in the prisons, yeah. for the people, and the guards basically
somebody
like introduced him to
yeah. Right.
And then that's how he got his break. You know, he fucking was singing in prison. Got offered a chance to go record, showed off, you know, his talents at CBS, and was given a record contract, and really the rest is history.
That was it. That's all it took.
Exploded into stardom. But I mean, look, I wrote down every single one of his solo records. So this is not including his duet albums, not including his like compilation albums, because there was like a trend. I mean, it happens all the time, but there, you know, in Mexico especially, there's a trend of, you know, an artist will put out a couple records and then they would put like a greatest hits 15 songs. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you know, obviously it inflates the record sales, right? But I'm gonna list the, I didn't even count them. You guys keep tally while I write, while I spew all these off, right?
All right,
so his first record starts in 1971, El Alma Joven. You know, waits a year, comes out in 1972, self-titled Juan Gabriel, but it's also effectively known as El Alma Joven Dos. 1973 comes out with El Alma Joven Tres. 1974 starts off with my personal favorite record, Juan Gabriel con el Mariachi Vargas de Tecalitlan. 1975, he comes out with A Mi Guitarra. 1976, Juan Gabriel con Mariachi Dos. 1978 is probably his busiest year, where he had, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4 records, right? So 1978, he comes out with Te Llegará Mi Olvido, Siempre en Mi Mente, Espectacular, Mis Ojos Tristes. And then 1979, he comes out with Me Gusta Bailar Contigo. 1980, he comes out with Juan Gabriel con Mariachi, kind of another generic title. Mm-hmm. Again in 1980, Recuerdos, a third record in 1980, Ella. 1981 comes out with Con Tu Amor. The following year, Cosas de Enamorados. 1983 comes out with Todo. 1984 is where he has his mega hit that every Mexican knows. This is where he gets put into like the stratospheres of Mexican music. Comes out with Recuerdos Dos. You know, waits 2 years, comes out with Pensamientos, and then he kind of takes a break. He kind of decides he's a little over it. I think he had like disputes with his record company and shit. So he waits, what is this? That's 8 years. There's an 8-year gap. So it comes out again in 1994 with Gracias por Esperar. 1995 comes out with El México que nos fue. 4 years later, Todo Está Bien. 1 year later, Abrázame Fuerte. 3 years later, Inocente de Ti. 7 years later, comes out with another self-titled record, Juan Gabriel. And then in 2016, his final album, released before he, you know, was dead, is Vestido de Etiqueta por Eduardo Magallanes. I mean, I don't know how many records that is, but that's absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And again, those are just solo records. Yeah. In between all these years, he's coming out with duet records with Rocío Dúrcal. He's also writing songs for everybody else. Yeah, for José, Luis Miguel. He wrote songs for everybody in Mexico.
I think a lot of people don't realize that either. Like, it's like that song Luis Miguel sang. I mean, I can't really think of one, but it's like that was Juan Gabriel.
Yeah. The one that shocked me actually was Jose Jose. I didn't realize that he had written songs for Jose Jose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Jose Jose, when
like, on his own, he's like really talented. But exactly. Then it's like, holy shit, he actually had somebody like,
The most popular Rocío Dúrcal song written by Juan Gabriel, you know? So, I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, the dude was a fucking workhorse. And the best thing about him is that he always said it and was never ashamed to say it, is that he made music and performed for the working class people, because that's what he was. He grew up poor and had to fight his way into the industry. So he never really ever forgot where he came from.
Exactly.
And even when he did, like, you know, these concerts that were like sellouts in you know, major parts of Mexico, he made sure that he would go find a location at a more impoverished part of Mexico and do the same concert for those people for less money. And it just speaks volumes, because I'm sure there's a lot of artists that would do the same thing, but I don't think anyone was as vocal and adamant about doing it like Juanga was. And I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, what's before we get into the movies, what's your favorite Juanga record?
I don't know about record, but I know my favorite song is He Venido a Pedirte Perdón.
Okay.
That's my favorite song.
That's your favorite song?
That's my favorite song, yeah. That's the one that I'm like, this song is just great.
I mean, yeah, so it's a fucking banger.
It is. You know, I know everybody likes Querida, or Querida is like one of the popular ones, you know.
Uh-huh. That's a chill song. Yeah. You just put it on anytime. It's like just chill.
I mean, that's his number one song. I think across all streaming platforms you'll see it. And I think that was his highest selling record for quite some time. And I would assume it probably still is. But by that time, he was already 13 years into his career when Querida came out.
That's crazy, dude.
Imagine that. That's fucking 13 insane.
13 years to have a big hit like that.
Yeah. What about you, Armando? What's your favorite song or record for Juanga?
Same one like you. Con el Mariachi Vargas de Tacalán.
Yeah, that.
That one has like hit after hit.
And
then like you could just breeze through it. It's like, and it's good.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't really have to skip anything, really.
One thing about that, I think it really showed, like, I mean, he really was challenging, like, the machismo of Mexico, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, you think of a mariachi, you think of, like, the suave, fucking, you know, well-put-together man that's fucking kind of a little bit of, you know, I guess you could say womanizer, or, you know, kind of gaudy and you
here
know,
he's
a show-off.
Super, like, sappy and romantic.
Flamboyant.
Very flamboyant, for sure, yeah.
And he's, I mean, writing these absolutely heartbreaking songs. That's my favorite record.
I love that one.
The Mariachi one?
Yeah, Mariachi Vargas de Tecalitlan. That's absolutely amazing record.
Which ironically ends up in the first movie we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Noblesa Rancha.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's get into it. I mean, you know, he only made a couple of movies.
Five in total,
and then I guess you know, you can count like other like documentary type movies. We don't count those. These are like narrative movies.
Yeah.
That he acted in, and I know you really love.
I enjoyed it a lot because I've never seen it.
I like El Otro Lado del Puente, the number one. The second is Noblesa Ranchera.
Yeah, Noblesa Ranchera is a pretty good movie. It's a really good one. It has a cool little twist to it. You think about it.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that. I mean, yeah. I gotta say, I love seeing that Idol Mexico playing land, do that old school gold or the silver with orange Idol Mexico. Yeah, I remember flying those in the 80s one time. But that cool little twist, you know, he loves the other girl that he wants to be with. I forgot her name. But then Veronica Castro wants to, like, be with him so bad.
Yeah, there's, like, a little love triangle. Yeah. And then, like we mentioned earlier, it's like he's, like, romantically involved with both of them. But then it's like, it doesn't feel real. Like, it feels so, like, genuine.
It
like,
feels forced a little bit.
Yeah, it
right?
almost feels forced. Like, you just, like, okay, like, is he even into these girls?
Well, it makes me think, like, maybe that was, like, it was on purpose because he was maybe a little too flamboyant for Mexico's culture and taste. Yeah. So they're like, you know, let's get this fool in here with some girls and make them.
And then,
you know,
like, in the movie, like, the two girls are after him, especially Veronica Castro.
Veronica Castro is just going
to the point where she even, like, lies. And
that she's pregnant.
Yeah. But then it's like,
what the fuck? Like, how did that happen?
Like, just more focus on himself, like, and that's it, like him and just like working at the ranch with his grandmother and then with, you know, the landowner and everything, but he's just like not really giving a fuck about these two girls.
No, he's not, you got your
light skinned girl, you got your like dark skinned girl, you know, the
brown
skinned girl.
He does tell that girl that he wants
to the true Mexican love story.
Yeah.
You're gonna fall in love with a brown girl or the white Mexican
white girl.
Yeah.
But he doesn't
he wants to be with her and can't wait, but then she finds out that the other one comes in and kind of messes things up, so she leaves. Then he gets mad. And the thing I wasn't expecting, how that other guy had his parents killed.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking, like, okay, so why? Like, they never explained that.
Yeah, you know? the movie's weird like that. Yeah, that's where I was like, that's where my problem was, especially when I first watched it. I was like, what?
Yeah, and it's like, the guy comes out, the rival, the guy that owns the money, like, tengo un secreto que les voy a decir. Yeah, you're like, Cedronio, what the fuck? Like, what the hell's the secret?
Yeah, it's funny because that guy, Cedronio, he's...
Cedronio, there you go.
Yeah, he's played by Arturo Martin, who's actually the director.
Yeah.
So it's just funny seeing him there.
I will say, too, I think Nobleza Ranchera has... arguably the best selection of Juanga songs in all of the movies.
It does.
Yeah. And they get to it right away, too.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even waste time with it.
No. For the Juanga fans, you know, you guys will recognize this song. I'm just going to read off the list of songs that play or that he, you know, sings in the movie. So, Si Dios Me Ayuda, Se Me Olvidó Otra Vez, which to me is his best song he's ever written.
Yeah,
I can listen to that song on repeat for hours and... you know, cry, start thinking about girls and shit. But, Mañana Te Acordarás, Esta Noche Voy a Verla, another fucking banger.
Yeah.
Que Chasco Me Llevé.
Yeah, that's the opening credits.
Perfect,
actually.
Que Sea Mi Condena, another fucking banger. Oh, and, of course, Estoy Enamorado De Ti, another, like, absolute banging soundtrack for
hit
the Juanga
hit.
Fans.
Yeah, hit after hit. And they don't waste time. It's like, the movie's already starting off with a good song.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, he starts with... Enamorado De Ti.
Yeah.
Because that's the one he sings to Sara Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sings to Grandma, right?
He sings to the Grandma, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That movie's a banger.
It is.
And I think it's still on Tubi for
It's not on Tubi no more, but it's on VIX.
So sign up for VIX. VIX is cheap, man.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it for me never seeing that movie.
Yeah, it's just your typical ranchera drama, you know.
Yeah. And I love the ending when he leaves. And even though the house is his, he's like, I don't give a shit about the house.
Everybody leaves
and leaves Veronica Castro by herself. And it's like, bitch, that's what you wanted. Yeah. You know, they left your ass right there. Yeah. They arrest the dad. He can't. I thought he was going to reconnect with the other girl at the end.
That's what I thought, too.
And I'm like, no. Especially when that truck pulled over. I'm like, oh, is she driving? He's going to pick him up. And like, ah, some random guy. And they just hop in the back and they take off.
That's it.
The friend. Yeah. They leave together. And like, he doesn't care about... what was left to him? Like, oh, this house is yours. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm out of here. I don't want to be next to this girl right here. Nobody, because even the other two servants, they like, we have a little acre or something. We're going to go live somewhere else. We don't want to be with your ass.
It's funny because so the album came out in 1974, and then 1975 is when they shot the movie. And it took them like 2 years later to put the fucking movie out of theaters, 1977.
I wonder why, though. I mean, that was like, the record itself was highly successful. You would think that it would have came out.
Record was. When I was looking up the movie, like, obviously it was Rogelio Agra Sanchez and then his son, David. That's when they first settled in 75.
Mm-hmm.
They shot the movie with Juan Gabriel. And then, it's 2 years, and then all of a sudden it's there.
And that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's one of the earliest RGV movies,
right? So that's
movies,
considered
right?
The first ever shot, you know, RGV film shot, you know.
Shout out to Juanga, man. Shout out to the RGV.
But the thing is, they don't even say it's there. They're just, like, pretending they're in Mexico. Like, they're acting like they're in this small ranch town, but it's like, this is fucking West Laco, Texas.
Hey, you know, you gotta put the disguise up, man. You gotta make them think
like,
that they're in
the whole movie is literally just set in that ranch house the whole time.
Yeah.
They try to make it look like they're out in the town or the
field.
It's all just in that one ranch. It's so
what's
funny.
More effective than having one central location and shooting your entire movie there? I mean, it's cost effective. You know,
exactly. Like, that was Rogelio's work. You know, he convinced somebody there to like let him borrow the ranch. It's like, all right, let's do it.
You can be an extra in the movie.
Can you even borrow the truck? Like, the truck was probably in the fucking ranch right there, for all we know.
He's like, oh, is the truck part of the deal for the ranch? Like, can we use that or not?
Yeah, like literally. But that's considered the first RGV movie ever made.
So a little bit of history with Juanga, man, you know, and it's obviously, again, you know, he chose Juarez as his hometown, you know, and Juarez is just a stone's throw over the Texan border. So, I mean, you know, there's connections there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that leads us to another movie that, I mean, I personally liked a lot. I know you two thought it was fucking boring, but.
And I was disappointed because it's made by like these legends. I mean, we know one of the writers, Joey.
we've spoken and interviewed one of the writers. But I don't know, man. I think I'm
Joe
talking about
it,
En Esta Primavera. And look, when I watched it, I had messaged Armando. I was like, you know what this fucking movie reminds me of, and this is for the John Waters fans. This is how I'm selling this fucking movie, right? So if you're a fan of the movie Crybaby like I am, you're gonna fucking love En Esta Primavera. Like, the parallels are there, man.
Yeah, when you explained it to me, I was like, oh yeah,
that's the Mexican version of Crybaby.
It's the Mexican version of Crybaby. Maybe John Waters was a fan of Juanga, saw this shit. Oh, you know what? Let me make this 1950s Baltimore with a doo-wop soundtrack. That could have happened, eh? I mean, look, the central premise is, you know, you have a superstar singer, you know, Juanga, Crybaby. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, a redheaded girl who is into him, right? You have Lenora to Crybaby. I forgot her name in Esta Primavera, but he has a redhead, like I guess like a an artist that he's producing who's in love with Juanga, but he likes a blonde, yeah. Paloma. In this movie, and then obviously, you know, his main love interest in Crybaby's main love interest, she's blonde, right? And then the blonde has a boyfriend who fucking hates Juanga. You know, yeah. you have fucking the preppy fucking boy in Crybaby. You have
that's too much of a coincidence.
You know, it's too much of a coincidence. You got fools on motorcycles. Yeah. You have fucking, you know, you have a talent show in the beginning of the movie, like when they're, you know, she was singing in there. I mean, the parallels are, I mean, they're super close.
Yeah, you can. Put the both tapes at the same time, and the same thing's gonna happen. I mean, kind of.
The movie ends a little different, but yeah.
Yeah, the ending's a little different. The ending's kind of a downer. Like, yeah, it's weird. I will agree though. Like, you know, I know you guys think the movie at some point gets boring.
I didn't finish it,
so you're gonna have your mind blown right here. Okay. Right? So at some point around like the 40-minute mark, yeah, the movie gets a little stale because Paloma and Juanga are in this fucking love interest. He like wants to marry her. Her parents are like, fuck that, you can't marry him. He's from the other side of the tracks. He's a, you know, we're too different. Again, Crybaby, yeah. Man, you know? And it just kind of gets a little stale. You know, you see their little fucking love story progress, right? But then, Paloma is told that the redhead girl, Lenora, just like I'm telling you, just like in Crybaby, is his girlfriend, that he's actually married to her. The redhead tells Paloma, yeah, we're fucking married. So she's like, all right, well, fuck Juanga. I'm gonna marry my fucking man then. And she sees the fucking light. You know, she just says, you know what? Nah, these fools are lying. So she decides she's gonna leave her dude and go chase after Juanga, right? And Juanga's already on tour. He's like, he's recording a record. I forgot where, but he leaves town, goes to record a record. So she hops on the fucking motorcycle to go chase this fool, and she's driving through the carreteras, fucking, you know, weaving through traffic. Her vato's friends, see that she leaves, so they get on their bikes, they start chasing her, and so it's like a 30-minute like motorcycle chase through the carreteras, and she's speeding, she loses control of the bike, flies off the carretera, crashes, dies, and the bike fucking blows up.
it's a fucking weird ending. When I first saw this movie, I was like, God, this movie's fucking terrible.
Is that how it ends?
That's how it ends. And then it ends all like dark, like, and I'm like, what?
So like, Juan Gabriel never knows that.
No, he finds out.
Yeah. Okay,
they tell him that she died, and then it ends with him going to the cemetery while Tres Claveles y un Rosal plays. And obviously, if you know the song, you know the lyrics, you know, it's basically telling the story of him going, you know, he's got these flowers for the grave and all that shit. And yeah, and then he gives the flowers to the fucking gravesite. And
goes back to his marriage.
And then the fucking credits roll.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck happened? Like, what? That's probably like the worst movie Gilberto Martinez Solari's made, straight up.
Damn, the worst, huh?
Wow.
And he's made like a bunch of bangers. I mean, this guy has like, what, 200 movies?
Almost, oh, yeah,
200?
Absolutely legendary.
Out of all of them, like, this is probably his worst one, honestly.
Straight up. You know what we got to do eventually? We got to do like a Gilberto Martinez Solari's like movie tree, like battle it out to find what's gonna be his great. You know, that should be like an ongoing series that we'll that we'll do. But
that was his brutal one, honestly. When I watched, I was like so disappointed. I was like, damn. And then I saw Adolfo wrote it. I'm like, Adolfo wrote this? Like, fuck, he's a good writer.
It has like the winning formula. You got Gilberto and Adolfo, you know, writer, director.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's barely starting out. Keep in mind, Adolfo was starting out writing barely.
Yeah, but
then it's like, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Something must have fucking happened.
He just fucking just melodramatic, like, fucking drama, like drama ending, with dude. Fucking yeah. with music numbers. And he put a downbeat ending. Like,
yeah. It just didn't work out. I don't know. It was weird.
I liked it.
Joey liked it.
I liked it a lot.
And let's not forget about Don Ramon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What was he called again?
Well, he's actually called Rondamon, which tripped me out when I'm watching the credits and I see, what was his real name? Ramon Valdez. Ramon Valdez. Yeah. And I see Ramon Valdez, Rondamon. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
Rondamon,
is that the same guy we're talking about? And then when I see him come out, I'm like, all right. And it's like, here's like the little comedy special you're gonna put out, but no, not even funny at all, like you said, you know.
He's like barely in the movie too,
In there, like mixing some cocktails and drinking a cocktail. And
there's some weird quirky parts about this, man. I can see, look, I'm gonna say this is like a 5-star movie, right? You know, but you know, his part is pretty fucking stupid. He's like a server at the club and then at like a fucking resort. Like it don't make no fucking sense.
Yeah, it doesn't, dude. Yeah, you're right, because at the resort, and then he falls in the pool, which kind of looks like, I thought it was green screen at first.
It looks weird.
Yeah, it looks weird. I'm thinking he's like doing this thing like he's gonna trip in the green screen, and he actually falls in the pool. I'm like, wow. I don't know. That kind of tripped me out seeing him there. But I guess they wanted to capitalize on Chavo del Ocho or something, bringing like some heavy hitter over here.
I mean, they need some kind of comedic relief, I guess. And who better than
at the time it was him? Yeah.
It's like the heyday of Chespirito. Makes sense. You know? Yeah. And then just for the Juanga heads, I'm just going to read off the list of songs that play in this movie. Because, again, banger fucking soundtrack, right? So you have En Esta Primavera, mm-hmm. Cuando Seas Mi Mujer, that's a fucking banger. Te Propongo Matrimonio, which is kind of like a playful song. You know, it's kind of a cheesy song, but it plays well to the movie.
I fucking hated that scene, though.
Yeah, that scene sucks.
I fucking hated that scene.
Tres Claveles y Un Rosal, of course, is the final number. You have Nuestro Amor Es El Más Bello Del Mundo. Nada ni nadie, no quiero, and por creer en ti. So another banger soundtrack.
Great soundtrack,
you know?
Yeah.
The Juanga fans, you know, you have something to like about this movie.
Yeah.
And then for the non-initiated people that
great
don't know Juanga,
to listen to his music,
it's a great way to
listen. Oh yeah.
And just think of it as Crybaby, man. That's the selling point.
According to IMDb, it's one of the best worst movies to watch. Let me read you the opening of the review. The worst movie the popular Mexican singer Juan Gabriel has ever done. The script is stupid, senseless, weak, absurd, and ridiculous. His co-star, Estrellita, she was like a pop singer in Spain.
There you go.
Yeah, Estrellita.
Gives us a glimpse of what bad acting really means. And then, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a pretty
wow.
Pretty.
Damn.
But yeah, I'm not.
That's a Juanga hater.
And this is from 2005, guys, so.
Damn. Hey, 20 years ago, and already like trashing.
See, everybody was already trashing his movie.
Yeah. Oh, there's. Like I said,
Joey liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, Joey liked it. I couldn't get into it. Like I said, I had to turn it off. To me, it was like, man, this thing is not getting anywhere. So,
I mean, I kind of want to watch it just for fun tomorrow. So I probably will.
Yeah,
I'll probably turn it off though. But
it's an easy movie, man. It's like an hour 38.
Like an hour 30 minutes, something like that. Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get through.
Because even Nobleza Ranchera is like an hour and 30.
Exactly.
But then we get to Noah Noah and it's like
Noah was about an
hour 40?
Hour 40 almost.
It's like an hour 30 something. And then Es Mi Vida is
like an hour 40.
Almost an hour 50.
Hour 50, yeah.
A little bit longer.
Which I gotta be honest, man. I don't know. I that might be my least favorite of the movies we're gonna talk about today. But
the whole bloody affair.
The whole bloody affair. So I mean, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the episode, right? So we're talking about two movies in particular that tell the story of Juanga, right? So we're talking about El Noah Noah, which is the club that
where he started his career.
And then I guess I don't know if it's a. I guess it's officially a sequel. Es Mi Vida. I mean, technically, it's a sequel. I don't know if they marketed
like
it as a sequel.
It's called Noah Noah Two. Yeah, they call it Noah Noah Two.
And it just basically tells Juanga's story. These two movies, and we'll separate it. So we'll start with El Noah Noah. But these two movies tell the story of Juanga up until he decides he's going to Mexico City, and when he gets arrested and makes his break. So that's where the whole story.
Where ends both movies
for both of these,
yeah,
movies.
For both movies.
That's
and
how I learned. That. I was like, oh, this is actually about his life. What the fuck?
Yeah,
it caught me by surprise. It's the first time I saw these two.
So let's get into it, man. Let's start off with El Noah Noah. Armando, take it over.
Noah Noah from 1981. And this is his third feature film. So this is his third, you know, and it's like, oh, he's fresh off the movies. He's doing pretty good. But this one's like more personal, obviously. This is about his life. And the title, obviously, is from the nightclub and the song from the Recuerdos album. And yeah, it's a semi about autobiographical film. You know, it's about his life, how he started, how he grew up. And then he has like not a love interest. See, that's another thing. It's not even like a love interest he has. It's just like a girl that he befriends, who's played by Meche Carreño. And the whole movie, he's just like with her. They're not even romantically involved or anything. They're just like close. It's weird.
I mean, let me ask you guys this, right? So I don't know if you guys picked up on this or not, but especially Noah Noah, that whole movie is a flashback. Did you pick that up?
Yeah. It is just,
it opens up with her name is Mercedes. But yeah, she goes by Meche,
and she's supposed to be like looking older.
Yeah,
and she's walking into the Noah Noah, but now it's like a disco club or something.
Yeah, it's like a discotheque. But she, you know, she's all drunk already because she's, you know, she's a sex worker. And so she's basically drunk in the beginning of the movie, the first 2 seconds, mm-hmm. and she goes, "I remember this is the club where Juanga started," mm-hmm. and then it's a flashback.
And then it's a flashback all the way till
the whole movie is a flashback. The whole movie is a flashback.
¿Qué tomas?
Ginebra con toronja.
Ginebra con toronja para la señora. Para mí lo de siempre.
Aquí fue donde conocí a Dan Luna. Yo estaba muy borracha. Y al vato no lo dejaban cantar. Tú lo mandaste sacar.
Es que era menor de edad.
But that opening scene was fucking dope. I don't know if you guys remember, like, you know, if they're in the club, they're fucking dancing.
That song
shit is
so crazy sounding. Yeah,
the song is fucking dope. But the DJ booth inside the disco is a fucking UFO.
Yeah,
that shit was so tight. You know, the song is blasting. Yep. Fucking people are getting down, and
it's like a weird, like, electronic sounding song.
Yeah, I mean, I would play a clip, but we got a YouTube warning for the Ramon Ayala songs that we use. So we'll keep the songs you know, minimal in this, But yeah, I don't know. That opening was fucking sick. I think you really get a glimpse of El Noah Noah as a club. Like, all right, this really was like the happening spot of
Juarez. It's like the Copacabana of
that's a good point.
Like
of
Mexico. You know, Noah Noah is like the biggest nightclub that you know. And again, I think after the fact, when he wrote the song about it, became more popular. People knew about the club more, but that was like the scene back in the day.
Oh yeah. Sadly, it burned down in 2004.
Oh.
Yeah, and now it's just a like most things, it's a fucking parking
Starbucks?
Lot. It's a parking lot. But yeah, I mean, let's kind of go through the cast and crew a little bit here. Directed by Gonzalo Martinez Ortega, who, I mean, I guess he was educated in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Well, Russia. I guess Russia's not Europe, but yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was my. He's one of those guys that like popped into the scene during the 70s. He studied abroad, came back with these inspirations from like Russia. And you kind of see that in these movies. They're very unusual and different and surreal.
Yeah, they're tonally like, don't match like the movies of Mexico.
Exactly.
At the time.
Yeah, it's trying to be something else.
But he kind of started. He was like technically trained, right? Like he knew how to be like, he was like a gaffer.
Yeah,
like
exactly. So he was really trained in everything. Yeah, so he knew everything. Yeah, he was a very serious filmmaker. But then he got involved with something commercial.
Yeah.
But rather than just make it commercial, it's like, I want to make this something like people will really fucking, you know, get into.
Yeah, because he wrote the movie too, right?
Yeah, he wrote the movie.
Mm-hmm.
With Juan Gabriel under his real name, I recall.
Yeah, I think Alberto.
Yeah, he went under his real name for the screenplay.
Yeah, and as a producer too.
And the producer, yep, exactly.
And then, yeah, you know, produced by, obviously, fucking, you know, Juanga himself.
And then Arnulfo Delgado, who was a music promoter from LA who worked with Juan Gabriel. I think he was the one that brought him out to, like, the United States, even. Like, outside of Texas, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I imagine it's kind of the same, because he also produced Caminos de Michoacán, which we had talked about.
Yeah,
and I assume it's the same.
It's the same guy.
Same story. Or, and not story, but, like, I guess same reasoning, right? Like,
he's touring.
Touring. Let's fucking film a movie. Mm-hmm. We'll use it as promo for, you know, kind of build up the what we're doing
and
now.
And then another guy that Arnulfo worked with, Federico Villa, is in the movie, too.
Yeah, he plays
plays the dad first,
yeah,
and exactly. Then he plays the brother.
Yeah, super weird. That's I was super confused.
And it confused me at first too, because they look the same.
And then you're just both like, characters have the same.
And they don't really
name,
say anything, you know, until it's like, oh, mi hermano. And it's like, oh, it's his brother. Okay.
Yeah, the second part when he goes to, you know, go talk to him, like, hey, I want you to read my songs. I was like sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, I thought his dad was like locked up and dead. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
He
has
cantado en varios lugares. Y hoy voy a buscar trabajo en el Noa Noa. ¿Lo conoces?
Sé dónde está. Ya me habían contado en qué pasos andas y qué lugarcitos frecuentas. Nomás una cosa sí te digo. Una persona que no trabaja, de algo tiene que mantenerse. Si no le hace a lo bueno, pues le hace a lo malo. Así que ya me imagino la clase de vida que llevas con vagos, iguales o peores que tú. ¿Y ahora esto?
Adán Luna soy yo. Ese es mi nombre artístico.
Pues no es mejor que el tuyo. ¿Por qué no te dejaste tu nombre verdadero?
Que no.
Así que ya te anuncian en programitas y toda la cosa, ¿eh?
Ese es del bumbum. Y este es de la cucaracha.
La cucaracha.
Y este es del cuncamunga.
Cuncamunga. Papá, nombrecitos.
Y espérate que canten el Noa Noa. Estas son mis canciones, mira.
¿Tuyas? ¿Todas?
Todas mías. Ahí te las dejo para que me des tu opinión. Léelas. Y como sé que no vas a ir a verme, te voy a traer una grabación para que veas que sí soy artista. Y no vago, como tú dices.
Pues a ver, nos vamos.
But yeah, you know, and then, you know, Leonor Yausas plays his mom. Who's another kind of, you know, big actress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She worked with everyone from Buñuel, worked with Arturo Ripstein, Taboada. She was in Veneno para las Hadas. So, you know, she got around, you know, very, very prestigious actor, actress, I should say, you know, didn't want to say it right. I don't know. Tito Junco was Don David, who played like the manager of El Noa Noa, who's another
legendary actor.
Legendary
usually
actor.
Played a bad guy here. He's just kind of just a nightclub owner. That's
I mean, he's kind of an afterthought, really. But yeah. I mean, I think he's only in the movie for like three or four scenes at most. Yeah, like kicks him out and then like, oh, you know, yeah, I know a guy. You know, like at the end of the movie, you know,
helps him out.
But yeah, let's get into the story a little bit, you know? I mean, Armando, you said it started with Meche. I know I sidetracked a little
bit. No, it's okay. So she's telling, you know, the story basically of how it started. So Juan Gabriel obviously is there. He's under his name, Alberto.
He's underage.
He's underage.
They have to kick him out if he sings. He can't stay there.
Yeah. And then he befriends this girl, you know, Mercedes. And like I said, you think they're going to get romantically involved. See, that's the weird part of the movie. It's like, you think they're going to get romantically involved, but no, they just have like an emotional attachment.
That's it, yeah.
They just rely on each other, you know, because they're both lonely and they, you know.
Because she has a kid and...
That's what I picked up of it. It almost feels like she sees him as her child because she, you know, she in the beginning, they both trauma dump on each other.
Basically.
Yeah, they tell their whole life stories. And she was raped and you know, ended up pregnant with a married man who basically took the baby away. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, I think I'm assuming that led to her drinking, you know. But my take of it was, you know, she took to Juanga, this teenage boy, because it, you know, reminded her
of her.
Now she has someone to take care of again, you know.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be a little bit older than him, too, if I recall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Yeah, the trauma bond for a while, and then he sings these
it's
songs
like the first almost 40 minutes. They're just trauma dumping on each other. Fucking,
and then he sings songs to her, and she really likes them. He's like, you know, you're really good. You need to pursue your dreams, basically. She's the one that encourages him.
To go out and
he's trying to perform at the Noa Noa, and it's like, no, you're too young. You can't perform here.
¿Qué pues, mi Adán?
¿Qué pasó, Meche? ¿Cómo estás? Una soda, por favor.
¿Qué? ¿No tuviste problemas para entrar?
No, me dejó entrar el Tijuana. Oye, ¿no ha llegado don David?
No le tengas miedo al ruco. Es buena gente. Tú nada más cántale una rola que le llegue.
No te veo.
Y vas a ver cómo con él no hay problema.
Oye, Meche, tú que conoces bien al dueño, don David, ¿por qué no le dices que me pase chance aquí para trabajar?
Ya te digo que con él no hay pedo.
That's pretty much the whole movie, you know. It's just him trying to, and then finally that's when he's like, all right, you know, I'm going to go to Mexico, you know. And that's pretty much it. You know, he gets on the bus, and then that's how the movie ends, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons why I didn't have a hard time watching it, but I found them kind of boring because the whole movie, you know, again, it's only like an hour, 30-something minutes, but it's so repetitive. Like, the same thing happens
it's over
in the
and over
beginning,
again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the middle, and then at the end. It's basically him going to someone else and like, I don't know if I, you know, if I have the chance.
Just, yeah. And then they're just like,
no, you should go to Mexico. You have to
and
go.
Then, song number.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And they have that little musical number in the rooftop where they're having a carne asada and all that.
I mean, there's some great there's like a shot where he's walking through like that whole area like of where all the discotheques and the bars and shit are at. And it's like a double exposure shot of him walking like, and then you see all like the neon signs of all the bars and hotels.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit was tight. Like, I imagine that's something that the director, you know, brought back with him.
Of course, the girl getting super drunk or ODing, Mercedes, what happens to her? She's in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
She ends up pregnant with one of her clients.
With one of her clients. Yeah. El coreano. El coreano, yeah.
Adán. Mataron al coreano. Meche se tiró por las escaleras del Ritz. Está gravísima. Perdió a su niño. Ahora está en el hospital. Vámonos, man. Vámonos.
Cuando me muera, mamá, ¿en dónde me vas a velar? En mi casa. O ni muerta me van a dejar entrar a ella.
No seas ingrata. Eres mi hija. ¿Cómo no me vas a poder?
Yo creo que no. Yo sé que yo tuve la culpa. Pero ya es mucho. Ya son muchos años. ¿Cuántas veces he soñado que soy chiquillo otra vez? Lo he deseado tanto. Para abrazarme a tus piernas. Y llorar mucho contigo. Como cuando era chiquita. Pero eso ya no. No puede ser.
Ya nos dijo el doctor que pronto vas a estar bien. Ah, Meche. Ya no lo vuelvas a hacer. ¿O que no significamos nada para ti, cabrona?
¿A poco creen que me quería dar en la madre? Si me caí de pedo. Mataron al coreano. Me dije. No, si hasta cobarde soy para matarte. Si no fuera por mi niña. En veces sí. Le pido a Dios que me muera. Pero como dice, Dios no cumple antojos ni endereza jorobados, ¿verdad?
She's pregnant with, and she loses the baby because something, she falls down or something while she's drunk.
Yeah, she was drunk. Yeah,
she loses the kid, yeah. And then Juanga goes to see her, and then he hooks up with this other girl, Maria.
Yeah, who was a friend of Daniel, who plays a part in the second movie.
Es una amiga, trabaja y estudia en los Estados Unidos.
Cuando la encuentre, me voy a enamorar de ella. Estoy seguro.
Viene seguido a Juárez. Así de repente aparece y luego desaparece. Es muy rara, pero muy a todo dar la María. Mejor si no la conoces y no te enamoras.
¿Por qué?
Es muy exigente, muy posesiva, muy libre. Lo de menos es si tú te enamoras de ella. Pero si ella se enamora de ti, ya no tendrás tranquilidad nunca.
Vámonos.
Dicen que le ha hecho a todo desde muy chica.
Lo más probable es que ni la conozca. Vámonos.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a tie-in in that. Like, I mean, you know, those characters come back. I don't want to go too far ahead and start talking about that movie, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, you know, correlations, you know, of real life story and how the first movie, you know, bleeds into the mm-hmm. second movie.
Because yeah. he goes and he's out with her with Maria and the kiss, yeah. then he walks away and it leads into that weird like with my song.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And you see Mercedes come back out doing that little dancing thing to him, and I was like, what the hell? And then next thing you know, it's like, movie's over. Yeah. I'm like, all
right. And then there's like a lot of flashbacks, obviously. So you flash back to his childhood, so you see his family like struggling, and you see the dad struggling, and mm-hmm. he ends up in the hospital. So there's a lot of flashbacks too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, a lot of flashbacks. Yeah, that's pretty much the movie. It's like trauma dumping, mm-hmm.
flashbacks
and musical numbers. And then, yeah, you get to the next one after that.
It's like yeah.
the story continues after.
Yeah, I mean, movie. Really, like, the only person who was hating on him in the first movie was his mom, really. Mom. Who was like, I don't want you to say, no andas vagando con esa gente, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which I guess lends to his real life because, you know, he loved his mom and everything, but they kind of had a troubled relationship.
Yeah, I think in real life, his mom wasn't too much too
lovey-dovey. She wasn't really involved with him.
No, yeah. And I think he was the 10th child
of yeah. him, like.
And in the movie, it kind of seems like she is. Like, you want to maybe put that in there? Like, this is what I picture my mom would be?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's him telling his own story. He yeah. produced it, you know? So I would imagine he, I mean, I assume all of it is real, but kind of embellished a little bit.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
But
this is basically, like, the closest you'll get to an actual autobiographical film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they try to make one else, probably not gonna be as good.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out with like a 4-part or 5-part mini series about his life, yeah. you know, based on the success of the documentary that came out. Yeah. Oh my God. Robert Downey.
You see that? Junior.
You should play him for, you know.
Nah. I don't like him at all. No.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Armando said, that's really it. Like the movie, you know, it kind of stretches out for periods of time. And it leads to him, you know, it ends with him leaving to Mexico City. And
then you go to SPV, then that shit opens up depressing.
No. Oh, man, that's like...
that movie's depressing all the way through.
Yeah, that movie...
I mean, at least it ends with a glimmer of hope because you obviously know he's successful, but then it's like the whole movie, then it's like...
when he's in jail.
Well, first he's homeless, remember? He's yeah. just like in the park, he's in the bus benches or whatever. And then that's when he's framed for the robbery because the girl invited him. The girl pretends she doesn't even know him. She's like, I didn't invite this guy. But it's like the girl wanted to fuck him, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the weird part, right? Because like you said, it opens up. He's kind of just roaming the city.
Yeah.
And then he meets a dude. And he's like, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Juarez. Oh, I fucking love people from Juarez. Like, you should come sleep in my house. It's like a weird arrangement. But then it was like, I mean, the thing about both of these movies really is they kind of gloss over a lot of shit. So there's no real like details or breaking down what actually happens. Because like you said, she accuses him of stealing shit. But it's like, okay, well, what about all the other fucking people that were mm-hmm. there? Like, yeah, you know, that were just like randoms. Him. Like, yeah. But I mean, you know, it leads to his real life arrest. And I mean, the rest and of this movie plays out with him.
Did she do that because he didn't want to fuck her at the end? Maybe she gets mad because of that and is like, all right, then.
I mean,
I think yeah. that's what I heard. I don't know. That's why she did it.
Well, he told her. Yeah, he told her, like, yeah, I didn't want to fuck you. Yeah. Like, get out of here. He told her that as he was being pressed, like, at the police station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's because I didn't want to fuck you. Which is kind of funny to see Juanga talking like that.
I know, right?
It's not something you really expect.
Por favor, dígale al señor juez que yo no fui el que la robó. Que yo no tenía dónde quedarme y usted me invitó, acuérdese.
No, tú fuiste el que me robó. Tú y todos tus amigos.
Señorita, usted sabe muy bien que eso no es cierto.
Claro que tú fuiste. Si no eres más que un pobre diablo. Un miserable ratero que quién sabe a cuántas no habrás robado.
Señorita, lo que pasa es que usted me acusa de esto porque yo no me quise acostar con usted. Porque a ver, ¿dónde está la televisión, las joyas y todo lo que dice usted que le robé? Seguramente las vendí.
¿Y para qué te haces? ¡Claro que las vendiste!
¿A qué hora si yo nunca salí de su casa? Además, ¿dónde están las facturas de todo lo que dice usted que le robé? ¡Muéstrelas!
Yeah. And pretty much that's how the movie goes. He goes to jail. But then the weird thing is, like, it goes through flash forwards, not even flashbacks anymore. It's like flash forwards. So you start to see him, weird, like, yeah. literally, like, him performing with Prieta Linda, remember? She's like, helping him record. And then you see him at a concert after that. Like, it's so weird. And then it goes in through nightmares, remember? He has, like, nightmare scenes.
Doesn't he have, like, a take some drugs or something like that when he's going through that stuff? When he's all.
I think there's a part where he does take something. Yeah. And then he does have the nightmares. Yeah. He has, like, these crazy nightmares. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't even figure out if it was, like, him dreaming or if it was really happening, but you know, because he was writing letters to his mom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want his mom to know he was in jail, so I was confused by that whole aspect of the movie. Because then there's like that nightmare sequence where he runs out of the prison and his mom's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Don't look at me!" Like, and then he just fucking runs. You know, and his mom's.
Yeah, the
like,
movie's
the like
kind of
like,
a puzzle. It's like it's just kind of all over the place with all these things going on.
Yeah.
It's like in jail, nightmare, flash forward. And then like
back to jail.
Yeah, back to jail.
And then flashback to Noah.
Exactly. It's so bizarre. But yeah, it's interesting to watch regardless. To know the whole story, you know.
It is.
And it's the same team, right? So yeah, Gonzalo Martinez Ortega wrote, directed it. Mm-hmm.
This time, Juanga, of course, you have a bit of an antagonist.
For sure. I mean, the good thing about this movie is that there's actually some really good players in this movie.
A lot of people,
right? So, I mean, obviously you have Juanga, who's playing himself. Narciso Busquets is in the movie.
Not playing a bad guy for once.
I know, right? That's the funny part. Bruno Ray is in the fucking movie.
He's in everything.
I mean, yeah, but you know, you gotta say the names. You know, people want to hear.
Yeah,
the names,
I know.
You know.
I'm just saying.
Federico Villa is in this movie again, so there's tie-ins to Noah Noah, but they're very minimal, right?
Very
so
minimal, like, yeah. Because you see Mecha in the movie
exactly,
again.
But it's
only for like a scene or two.
It's for one scene, and it's a flashback to Noah Noah, mm-hmm. right? But. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's great players, and it's literally the whole movie is him in jail, becoming like almost like a celebrity in the jail. Like he performs for like the other inmates.
People really respect him too as a person too.
Yeah,
like they obviously see him as a talent, but then he's like also a really good guy, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny to think that you know he was in jail and performing and. You know, that's how he gets his break, really, because was it Bruno Ray that brought Prieta Linda into the prison?
I believe it was her, or no, it was Narciso, I believe. Narciso's character. One of them, I forget.
Isn't Narciso an inmate as well?
He's an inmate,
yeah.
I think it was Bruno Ray, actually, yeah.
Because I think Bruno Ray was like, he's not the warden, but he's like, they call him general, so I don't know.
Yeah, so he's like the general, correctional officer, whatever the fuck, yeah.
Yeah,
there we go, yeah.
Because the warden was Don Alfredo, who was Guillermo Murray.
Because he plays the song to him, right, that he hears.
Yeah, he's singing.
Yeah, so it was Bruno Ray, yeah.
Bruno Ray, right, sings the song to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so again, I mean, for as simple as the movie is, it's also kind of convoluted, you know. You know, we've obviously saw this movie and still kind of, you know, trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah, the movie is literally a puzzle. Like, when you watch, especially if you never watched the first one, you're going to be, like, thrown off. You're going to be like, what is going on?
Yeah, because I forgot when I started playing it again how at the beginning it throws the flashback to Noah Noah, but the little dancing scene at the end with the... If you know that pita, perdón, like, little snippets, I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, shit, that's right, this thing is...
Yeah. So you have to watch both.
Mm-hmm.
The Whole Bloody Affair, like you said.
Yeah.
The Whole Bloody Affair.
The Whole Bloody Affair.
at half the runtime, you know?
Half the runtime, yeah.
Yeah, there
it is. But yeah, I mean this movie again features another fucking stacked soundtrack. For the Juanga heads here, I'm going to read off the songs that are performed in this movie, right? So we have Es Mi Vida, Bésame Otra Vez, Camargo, En El Mundo Ya No Hay Paz, No Tengo Dinero, banger, mm-hmm. low-key banger, you know, Perla, El Pueblo de la Tristeza, La Diferencia, María de la Paz, which is another, you know, another banger, Me Nace Del Corazón, Déjame en Karina. A banging soundtrack, but again, I still think En Esta Primavera is the best soundtrack out of...
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. I fucking.
I feel like Noblesa Ranchera had the best.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you know what?
That's your favorite album, too.
It's my favorite album, yeah.
But the least favorite movie, yeah.
But it's not my least favorite movie, but it's. I would say that.
I guess it just got you more attention, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was telling Armando last week, dude. I'm at the point of the year where I'm just kind of movied out. Like, I have no interest in watching movies right now. So I was kind of, forced myself to watch it this past week so I can just write my little notes down, mm-hmm. So maybe that contributed to me not liking Noah and Es Mi Vida as much. Because at least, in Esta Prima, you got fights, it's like
Oh, that's right.
It's a couple fights.
That's true. They have a little fight scene in there. Yeah.
But,
yeah, the dad hating on him and.
I don't know.
The girl sneaking out.
I don't know. That shit sucked.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like I couldn't.
I'm like, that shit sucked.
It was too slow for me, man. I couldn't make it into it.
Then you get the whole bloody affair here, and it's like, all right, kind of a puzzle, but it's like, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. You learn the life right there. You learn his life right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you learn his life. But, let me ask you guys this question. This is another thing that I was thinking about yesterday. I don't know if these movies really do anything for someone who's not in the know of Juanga. Like, I don't think these movies... are really going to excite a random, listener of the show that doesn't know who Juanga is to go watch this movie and learn about him and listen to his music.
Mm.
I think that's kind of the problem I have with it. So I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah, I kind of don't think so. Like, especially if you start with Noah and you don't know like his story, you're not a fan of him. It won't draw you in to be like listening to the whole drama and
you just have to be familiar with the music in general too.
Yeah, that's no part of his life as well, like
I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know, I just truly don't think that if you're not already a Juanga fan, you'll I don't think him. You're gonna like these movies, no, to be honest,
because same thing, like the way the movies are made, they're not made to tell like the story wise from, how can I explain this?
It's not just like a story. It's a story with Juan Gabriel.
Yeah.
Juan Gabriel is the fucking story. All these movies are all about him.
He's the attraction.
He's the attraction.
Yeah, so if you don't already know him,
you watch Noviembre Ranchera, it's like, yeah, it's a ranchera drama, mm-hmm. but it's not your typical one. It's like, it's a Juan Gabriel movie. And it's like, well, who the fuck is this? Yeah. if you don't know who he is, you're like, well, okay, who's this guy singing? What the fuck is going on?
It's not like you're going to go watch, let's say, for example, you're going to watch Ray. Uh-huh. And you see from the beginning when he was a kid, like a whole narrative all the way. This one is like a little jumping back and forth, so it kind of it's gonna throw people off.
Just like, if you don't know anything about them, mm-hmm. you're gonna be like, what is this, who is this
and
guy?
You would expect, maybe if you think about people listening to a story like, oh yeah, he was in jail and that, you'd be like, oh, you gotta watch Es Mi Vida without watching, because then you'll see people watching El Noah Noah and they don't know that he was called Adan.
Yeah,
they'd
that's
be like,
true.
Who the hell? Why are they calling him Adan? Like, their name was Juan Gabriel, and that's gonna throw people off too if they don't know who he is. You know, so it has to be like you have to know about him to understand. Like, I didn't know that he was called by Adan until I saw the documentary.
Yeah, Adan Luna.
I had no idea until I saw the documentary on Netflix. I'm like, oh shit, he went by Adan Luna before Juan Gabriel.
They forced him to change it. Yeah. I guess Adan Luna was was it a cartoon or a comic book?
I wasn't like a superhero, like
something like that, right? Yeah, they were like, nah, that's too childish.
He came out of a comic book, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this question for both of you guys: like, do you think Juanga's music will translate to a non-Mexican, non-Spanish speaking, non-Latin American person?
No. Because when you think about it, it's like, what kind of music does he perform? It's pretty much sporadic, really.
Well, he does everything. I mean, he had mariachi, he did boleros,
ballads. So it's kind of like hard to, like, where do you start from,
Yeah, I mean, I kind of check out.
I could see people like wanting to listen. I was like, all right, this guy's obviously popular in Mexico, but what songs do I listen to? Or who is this guy?
I mean, yeah.
What genre is he? You know, are you gonna, that's the first question, I think.
Yeah, will you translate the lyrics?
And the lyrics,
they
too.
They understand it. Like, English would be the same thing as in.
Well, I mean, there's people that like world music that, I listen to fucking, African music where I don't know what the fuck they're saying. But, I mean, the records are great,
Yeah.
But I truly don't know and kind of don't believe that Juanga's music is for everybody. Like, I don't think if you're not part of the culture that you won't understand the music, you won't understand the character. And I don't know if you would actually like the music or not. Yeah. Like, I mean, which kind of sucks because if you think about it, Juanga really is like one of the most prolific characters in Mexico's entertainment history. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of confined to the culture, which
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of.
But yeah. but like I said, but there are people like you said that are into world music. So
yeah.
if they're gonna listen to Mexican music, they're gonna look up Juan Gabriel, obviously.
And he'll come
they're
up gonna get like into. The, he'll come up at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you're really like liking what you're listening to, you're gonna get into it.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm into a musician from Cambodia actually, and you know if you know the history of Cambodia in the 60s, you know the genocide and all that. There was a singer from then named Sin Sisamuth. Fucking amazing singer.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what he's singing until I started translating the lyrics. And then of course I started reading about his life, so it's like, okay, I understand who this guy was,
yeah.
you know. And it's unfortunate he's no longer with us and everything, but I can see why people fucking love this guy, you know.
Yeah.
So like I said, so people are gonna be looking into Mexican music and they see obviously Juan Gabriel being one of the top artists. And then they're gonna do their own research.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. So you know, so I think yeah, and then people are gonna be disappointed. They're gonna be like, wow, this guy's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know? I mean, maybe that's the answer is if you are a fan of music,
mm-hmm.
you can listen to it, understand it, and appreciate it. And maybe if you're not, you know, a music person, you know, an audiophile, that you won't appreciate
it. If you're a movie fan, you're going to be like, what are these fucking movies?
Well, I feel like people say that about any Mexican movie.
Yeah, that's right. Like, but especially Mexican with music in it, they're just gonna be thrown off so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I guess,
like with Indian films, you know, they're gonna be like, what the fuck? You know, they're thrown off by the music.
And I guess we should you know kind of say that it's like you know again these movies were kind of made to you know. Go hand in hand with the music, of the time that he was mm-hmm. releasing. You know, it's just another promotional avenue for as an artist. You know, the same thing we said when we did the Bukis and the Temerarios episode. Those movies were made to you know to help mm-hmm. push you know the artist. So I mean, that's essentially what these movies are doing.
At the time, those movies work good.
Oh yeah, these are huge movies.
People forgot about them. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I assume they're going to make a comeback again because of this Netflix documentary. I think Juanga's going to kind of, propel into the zeitgeist again. But
well, the funny thing is, like, I follow people that worked on that documentary,
mm-hmm.
and they went to Cineteca, and they found a lot of the negatives for Noah and all that.
That's fucking sick.
So they were doing a lot of research on that shit, too, you know, on their
end. Man, imagine.
Yeah. I'll show you guys the picture of one of the guys. But yeah,
does a 35
yeah, so a lot of people were really, like, looking and finding cool shit like that when they were looking at his film stuff.
Yeah.
They were finding, like, negatives and shit. I seen it there.
Damn,
that's pretty sick.
That's fucking
amazing. Yeah, we got.
So hopefully those films, like, yeah, get some kind of exposure, you know, because that's like
remastered.
They got those shits. It's like, yeah, they got them. Like, put them.
They
out,
need to
know?
Be. They need to be remastered because
yeah,
those.
Yeah. Well, technically they copies. Are, but you know, it's just copyright holders are holding it back. The music, especially, more than likely, too, holding it back.
Well, I mean, I'm sure the music plays a big part, but towards the end of his career, he ends up with his own masters, right? That was part of the deal of why he came back to start recording music again. Yeah. He didn't do it until CBS signed or gave him his masters back.
Yeah.
But I guess he did that to get his original masters, and then anything after that point would belong to the record label. So he did it like, you know, they did like, you know, quid pro quo, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you record new music for us and we'll give you the masters to your old shit. Because, I mean, he was the songwriter for all of it. Like, he didn't have to rely on anyone else. So
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, later in life, he ran into some tax issues and shit. But we're not here to disparage Juanga because, you know, he's one of a kind and a Mexican.
I feel like that's just the problem with a lot of these Mexicans. They're just like, these Mexican entertainers, they just always have tax problems.
I mean, who doesn't, right? I mean, a lot of these.
Every time I hear it, I was like, oh, okay.
I was telling you guys before we started hitting record, you know, one of his logical responses to why he didn't pay his taxes was that he fought against it because he said he was an artist and artists shouldn't have to pay their taxes because they entertain the country.
Well, he did.
Which, I mean, yeah. I guess.
I gotta say that he did, you know.
You know, I mean.
But Uncle Sam would disagree.
Yeah, Tio Samuel.
Tio Samuel.
Okay. Well, I mean, I mean, we've talked about pretty much everything we can about these movies. So, I mean, hopefully, it you know kind of draws a little bit of interest in you guys that are listening to watch the movies, or at the very least, you know, listen to his music, because, you know, the three of us are going to put together a playlist like we did for the Bukis Temerario episode, of all of our favorite Juanga songs. And, you know, hopefully you guys check it out. That's, I think that's important. This is one of the things I told Armando too when we first started, like, I wanted to do these type of playlists whenever we did music inspired movies, to kind of, you know, go hand in hand and bring a little bit more exposure to
yeah, and that's like the very heart of the films. It's like the music,
exactly, overall.
So yeah, you gotta listen to the music.
So we're gonna do that, and then of course it's the end of the year, so you know, we didn't even talk about this shit. Holy fuck.
What is that?
This is a, so Jaime just gave me his ticket. I forgot to ask you about this. He, damn, that's it, that's crazy. So December 19th, almost fucking
2004,
so almost 21 years to the day this fool went to go see Juanga.
Oh
yes.
And Nochistlán, which is where you're from, where, right?
Yeah.
A partir de las 9 de la noche en el campo de béisbol. Damn. El ídolo más grande de México. Yeah, we got to post a picture of this.
Oh, yeah, we got
This is Jaime's ticket to go see Juanga in 2001.
How much did it
cost? In Zacatecas. Each silla costs 550 pesos, which I get at that time, I don't remember the conversion. It was like 1 to almost 20 at the time, right? It was like 1 to 1 to, yeah. If I remember correctly, it was like 1 to 18 or 1 to 17, something like that.
In 2004?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's been, you know. But yeah, this is fucking sick.
Yeah,
check out the Instagram page. We'll post the
has a little holographic thing on it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like a, it's like an embossed stamp, yeah, or something. But damn, that's fuck. How was that concert?
That was amazing, dude. And then we got in the front, like, damn, we were like right in the front. We got the chairs on the front. I remember because
my sister called me saying, "Hey, vamos a ir a ver a Juan Gabriel, ¿quieres ir?" I'm like, oh, "Fuck yeah, I gotta want to go." And they got me a ticket. I don't know where it was, and I think it was the day I landed, I want to say, that we went, and it was a good show, dude. It was really, really good, and I never thought I was ever gonna see him.
And I never saw him.
Yeah,
I know. I'm glad I did. My mom's mom was a huge Juanga fan, and I don't know what year this would have been, but they probably around that time, to be honest, because I only met my grandma like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, but they took her to the Juanga show in L.A. She had flown in from Chicago. They took her to the concert, and they bought like a VIP ticket. So there's a picture of my grandma with Juanga. Like, he had like, I vividly remember, he has like a fucking silk, like a purple silk button up t-shirt, all flamboyant with his with his black pants and shit. And I was like, this is fucking hilarious. But I never got a chance to see Juanga. Again, like we said in the beginning, like, I knew Juanga. I liked his music, but I would never have said that I was like a super fan of Juanga enough to go see him in concert.
Yeah, me either. I mean, if he was alive, I would still see him, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I went, so like, I loved, like I said, that song that I love. Yeah, I knew a lot of his songs too, like growing up over there, and got a chance to go see him, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
because it was a good experience. I've never had a thing like, I want to see him. No. It wasn't one of those he was one of the artists I had to see. But the opportunity came, I'm like, yeah, why not? And I'm glad I did.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you have proof.
Yeah. it was a good time, man. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean, let's wind it down here, you know. Again, we're going to make a playlist, so check that out. It's December, so
you watch the movies.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, we'll link you to that.
And don't expect masterpieces or anything like that. And prepare to be a little bit confused. Yeah,
well,
we're
not going to link Primavera. Well, maybe we
will. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think you should. I want to see what people think about that movie too.
Well, we'll see. I'll see.
Yeah,
I know for sure. No one know, and then whatchamacallit, Nobleza will be
Nobleza Ranchera.
Yeah, we'll be on there, since those are all streaming. Yeah. You know.
And with that, you know, we'll end it here. You know, I did want to say, you know, next month's episode, we already recorded it because I'm going to be on vacation for a couple of weeks. So that'll be out January 12th.
That was last week, huh?
We recorded it last week. Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it. It feels like it was long.
It does feel like it was long ago, right? It's just been a long ass week, man. But yeah, so that'll be out January 12th. Obviously, you'll hear a little teaser here. I did want to say, and I want to say this because this is something I had told Armando I wanted to do. And, you know, he graciously invited me to write for Trash Mix on like the website. So I wrote it a while ago, but then I decided I wanted to change it. So I'm going to start like a blog series on the website. So yes, you guys will have to go to the website to read it, but I want to focus in on like the library background music of a lot of the Mexican movies that we'll have talked about.
The homie AM Sounds is working on something cool.
I'll tell you a little bit more off air. I saw some shit. But if you're interested in the world of soundtracks and library and background music, I'm going to start a series on that. So I'm going to say it publicly so that I'm forced to put it out in writing. The first entry will be in January, probably a little after the January episode drops, but it will be in January. So that'll be something new for you guys to read. And, man, I'm excited. It's good. You know, end of a year. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Again, you know, in the show notes, everything will be linked. If you want to follow Jaime, you know, he's a good-looking guy for all the single ladies, you know, all the jefitas, you know.
Jefitas?
the veteranas, you know.
Shit.
You know, you can follow him. Obviously, you guys know where to find Armando and I, but if you don't, I'm under Cheddar Brown, Armando, Trash Mix.
Don't follow me on Letterboxd, please. Yeah. Stop doing it.
And if you do, don't write a hater comment, you know.
I never saw that movie. I don't even know what movie you guys are talking about. We never talked about that movie.
Again, you know, tell your tia, tell your tios, tell your primos, tell everyone to tune in. The only podcast talking about Mexican movies only. No in between, we had one cheat episode
we really had to. We probably will do something like that in the future too,
yeah, but the primary focus is will always be Mexican films.
Absolutely.
So you know, follow our Instagram page, the Trash Mex Podcast on Instagram, trying to build that up.
And keep in mind, this is probably the only English language episode talking about Gabriel.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine anyone.
I'm sure there's a bunch in Spanish, but in English, it's like, okay. So, what better way to introduce yourself, your English speakers, to Juan Gabriel by listening to the Trash Mix Podcast? Mm-hmm.
And then 2026, hopefully, you know, it's going to be a big year. We have some ideas that I think people are going to be into.
Oh, yeah, Joey came up with some great ideas.
Hopefully, we can get some more like interview type guests in. Yeah. We have some stuff written down, so hopefully we can lock those.
Yeah, we're
in.
Trying. I'm trying to message people and they don't respond.
Hey, you know what?
You have to keep going. Like I always tell people, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And even if they did respond and said no, it is what it is, right? Exactly. You can't force anyone to talk about their life or anything. So, you know, that's in the pipeline. And, you know, again, just write a review, 5 stars, 1 star if you hate us, it doesn't matter, as long as you're listening. And yeah, man, we'll see you guys in January.
And in February, don't forget February,
man, for lovers and heartbreak, for the cheaters and for the lovers, you know.
That one's gonna be a fun one.
And like you said, we may have a special guest for that.
Yeah,
one
we'll
too,
try so. To get him back. Yeah.
Yeah, with that, we'll let you guys go. Any parting words, Jaime? Anything?
Thanks for having me again. I really enjoyed it, and hopefully we can make another one. I have an idea of what would be a good one.
Shoot us an idea.
Hopefully it works out.
This will be like the yearly end of the year episode, you know, music ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next month. Peace.
Bye.
Próximamente estrenaremos
y de nuestro cuerpo ajuatado. Y sin duda, hermanos, es a la hora de nuestra muerte cuando Dios nos ama más. Por eso estamos ahora dentro de su ojo, para que nos vea, para que vea cómo le amamos. Pero para amarlo necesitamos, ¿qué necesitamos? Necesitamos odiarnos a nosotros mismos. Necesitamos reír con nuestro sufrimiento. Necesitamos cantar con nuestras lágrimas. necesitamos platicar con nuestra soledad y vivir deseando la muerte. Entonces él sabrá que nuestra fe es mejor y quitándonos todo, nos quitará también la aflicción. Por eso, hermanos, debemos estar siempre confiados, siempre contentos, siempre optimistas, como siempre lo han estado nuestros primos del norte, a quienes Dios siempre ha sabido recompensar. Porque nuestro Padre, hermanos, no quiere que andemos por los rincones contándole nuestras penas a estatuas y a ídolos que por sordos y ciegos ni nos oyen ni nos ven. Amén.
Amén. Amén.